that the phone number for TalkBack is 77891, that your host and moderator is John Dimas, and that he's right here.
Thank you very much, Lynn. And we popped up with a story all of a sudden for today's show. Ken McKinnon, counselor, will be in as a guest. Don Sawatsky hopefully will be arriving. I hope some of the any other territorial counselors that are listening will call in. I tried to get in touch with Eric Nielsen, our member of parliament, to see if he'd phone the program too. The item, the basis of the program for today, is an article in the August issue of the Alaska Industry Magazine, and it's headed Yukon Ready to Run Own Show. And it was written by Don Sawatsky, who is a freelance writer and broadcaster, been living in Whitehorse some 6 or 7 years. Hopefully Don will be along sometime within the next hour. Councillor McKinnon will be along in a few minutes. Councillor McKinnon is featured on the front page of the article, a picture of him, and he's quoted extensively throughout the article. Several very interesting comments made by Mr. Sawatsky in the article that we'd like to follow up on and find out about. He says, for instance, talking about autonomy and the Yukon wanting to run its own show, he quotes from Frank Fingland, who used to be executive commissioner in the Yukon, executive assistant to the commissioner in the Yukon, and has written a thesis for University of Toronto. He quotes Frank as saying, in retrospect, it is surprising, however, that expediency and lack of foresight, with one or two important exceptions, should have remained entrenched features of territorial policy until the middle of the 20th century. This is in reference to the Yukon, and this is after the background that Frank Fingland gave on the Real Rebellion and the things that led up to it. And many of these things, as we know, are the same things that are occurring right now in the Yukon territory. But he also goes on to say that Whitehorse, two ministers were elected after the last territorial election, the two ministers, as he calls them, they're in fact executive committee members. Whitehorse businessman Norm Chamberlain and Carmack's Kluane Lake school teacher Hilda Watson completed their first full council sessions as ministers of the Crown last March, and most members of the council feel the experiment just may work out after all. I'd like to ask Don which members he is talking to. It will take another year or two before any firm opinion can be forwarded, but most people, here again, most people feel that all things equal, it may be the first step in Yukon constitutional history towards some semblance of representative government. Councillor McKinnon's in the studio with me. He hasn't seen the article, I might point out, until this morning, just before the program I gave it to him. He probably hasn't had time to go through it and digest it, but a few of those comments, Councillor McKinnon, such as most members of council feel the experiment in democracy in the Yukon just may work out after all.
Well, I think probably a closer assessment, what I would put to it, is most members of council hope that it will work out, because I think most members of council see it as the first stepping stone to complete autonomy for the Yukon. Now, whether it can or not work out under the present setup is another ball of wax. I don't think that at its present form, the way that the two executive members are conducting their duties, that without some very dramatic changes, that it can possibly work with the two members who are presently sitting on the executive committee.
Well, does this become a matter of personalities then, or individuals?
Well, I think all governments become a matter of personalities and personal personnel eventually. I think this is the reason why certain governments are chosen and certain governments are defeated. I think that if one looks into the history of parliamentary democracy, it's always when people and the members of office get too big for their breeches and start thinking that they rule by divine right rather than by the wishes of the democratic process, that this is when governments generally topple and fall flat on their face. And I don't think that there'll be any exception in the Yukon Territory come election if the executive members now on the executive committee don't change their approach towards the workings of the executive committee and their approach towards the rest of the members of the territorial council.
It says here that a second major change took place last fall, too, although this was out of the hands of federal authorities. The Yukon Liberal Association ran a slate of candidates and managed to tip the balance of power by electing 5 Liberals to the House. We'll leave you with that one before we go on with that statement. Any comment?
Well, I think that this has been probably one of the most misunderstood areas of Yukon politics imaginable, the area that says that there has been a balance tipped in favor of what? I imagine that it intimates and probably insinuates that it's come away from a conservative balance of power in the House. Now, if you, John, are willing to admit that in the last House that the majority of members sat in a conservative caucus and received instructions from the Conservative Party and went along policies that were dictated to them by either a territorial or a federal Conservative caucus or a Conservative philosophy, then I imagine this was tipped away from the Conservative basis of power to the Liberal basis of power. I'll never admit and I'll never say that that there was in any House or at any time that I was in the House of the territorial legislature, there were partisan politics on either a territorial or a federal basis connected with the government of the Yukon Territory.
Okay, I'll say this. There were four or five people who were together in the last session of council, the one that I was sitting in, who got together and made decisions or as to which approach they were going to take amongst themselves. There was never any communication, and it's not a matter of admitting or not admitting. It just didn't occur with any other member or any other person in the territory, whether he was Conservative, Liberal, or anything else. It was simply an intra-council group that sat together, whether you call them Conservatives, Liberals, or anything else. I don't think that the label will stick because they didn't deal with any Conservative Party. They didn't deal with any Liberal
Party. This has always been one of the sad commentaries on Yukon political life is the stereotyping of people, because it's so easy to stereotype people. I see my picture here in this Alaska Industry magazine saying Conservative House member Ken McKinnon amid a pile of paperwork. Well, I think my last membership in any political party, if one checked over the records, was probably in the Yukon Liberal Party rather than the Yukon Conservative Party, which I haven't been a member of for some number of years.
But you have been active in the Conservative Party.
I've always supported the Member of Parliament, Mr. Neal, since I've been here, because I firmly believe in my mind that he has been the most intelligent member or the most intelligent candidate who has been put up before the public. And I think that he realizes my relationship with him, and that if there any other party put up a member who I thought could be do more for the Yukon in the House, I just have no problems at all in taking my support to that member, because I just don't get excited about partisan politics and I don't get excited about political ideologies.
Okay, going on with this statement, it says, as I said before, the Liberals managed to tip the balance of power by electing five Liberals to the House, a sixth member, independent Mike Studder of Dawson, and Conservative Ken McKinnon make up the remainder. Again, you're labeled a Conservative. Did Mr. Sawatsky talk to you before?
No, he never talked to me at all. I thought Don was a better reporter and more responsible than to put this kind of information in without at least talking it over as to whether this is a fact or not. As I said, I'm not a member of the Yukon Conservative Party. I haven't been active in their organization in 2 or 3 years since the last election. And in fact, I'm so disappointed in federal partisan politics as they apply to the Yukon from any of the major political parties other than the New Democratic Party that I just don't get involved in federal partisan politics at all, because I'm so disappointed about the way they approach the problems of the Yukon, I don't get involved in party politics at the territorial level either. And if anybody wants to go back in the records also, they'll also all find that I have never accepted a penny of money from any business, any political organization, or any individual to run as a territorial candidate, because I just won't allow myself to become under the intimidation of any political pressure group or any political party. I don't believe in it. I think the Yukon is one of the last places where you can still conduct a election campaign and be independent of every source of pressure except the public who have put you there in the first place.
We're discussing an article in the latest issue of Alaska Industry. The title of the article is Yukon Ready to Run Own Show. It was written by Don Sawatsky, a local freelance reporter. He writes for the Star Weekly. He's a regular contributor to Alaska Industry, and he works with CBC from time to time. We're hoping Mr. Sawatsky will be with us on the show a little later. Our guest to discuss this article is Ken McKinnon. I'm hoping to hear from possibly Councillor Clive Tanner. I've asked MP Eric Nielsen if he can give us a call to comment on the whole article, because it does bring to light once again the whole problem of Yukon responsible government and what has happened in the past year and what we hope for in the next few years. We'll be back in just a minute.
It's soft drink weather, and there's nothing more cooling. Right now, they're on special. Canned soft drinks, orange, grape, cola, 10-ounce tins, 8 tins for a dollar. Or clear, sunripe apple juice, a 48-ounce tin, 2 tins for only 89 cents. Then there's peaches, just 39 cents a pound. Green peppers, only 39 a pound. And Tura Services has specials on meat, too. Side bacon by the piece, only 69 cents per pound. Wiltshire beef sausages, a 2-pound package, just $1.39. That's Tura Services on 4th Avenue. You have too many monthly payments now, but you still need a new car. White Horse Motors announces their debt consolidation plan. You can drive the car of your choice and bring all your installment payments under one roof. And your monthly payment could be less than you're paying now. So don't let those bills hang you up. White Horse Motors has a better idea. An idea that perhaps they could help you and at the same time put you behind the wheel of a new car. Think about it.
$199 will buy you a whole new world of eating. That's right. For $199, you can get a beautiful 15 cubic foot freezer from Hogan's. Be cool. Shop at Hogan's for this beautiful freezer. In white only, with lock. Drop into Hogan's today and see the attractive assortment of freezers. There's a chance to win Sam, a whole pork. Just guess the weight. Get ready for the hunting season. Shop at Hogan's today.
The program is Talk Back. The ball appears to be rolling. And once again, here's John.
The number to call is 77891 if you've got any comments. If you want to get into the discussion, we're talking about responsible government, particularly about the Yukon. An article in the Alaska Industry magazine called Yukon Ready to Run Own Show by Don Sawatsky. My guest right now is Ken McKinnon. I'm hoping Don Sawatsky will be making an appearance before noon today so that we can ask some questions of him. Mr. McKinnon, again, you're being... It's being suggested here that you're a conservative, that you're a conservative member of Territorial Council. And even recently, more recently, I've heard you referred to as Nielsen's mouthpiece in Territorial Council. Your comments?
Yeah, this is one of the things that ever since I've gone into Yukon politics, because of my support of Mr. Nielsen as a federal member of parliament, that it's been put upon me that I am, one, his mouthpiece in the Territorial Council, and the other one that's always been rumor that's been rampant has been that I'm just waiting for the time for Mr. Nielsen to retire so that I can fill his boots and head down to Ottawa. And I've always stated since my first venture into Territorial, even desiring to go to Ottawa has been furthest from my mind. And of course, I've disappointed so many people in my 10 years of Territorial politics because they've always said he's just using it as a stepping stone to federal politics. And of course, now it's even further away from my mind. Don't think there's anyone who is more aware in the Yukon of the frustrations and of the ineptitude that a backbencher in a federal party has in the hallowed halls of Ottawa. And I just could never see myself in Ottawa, in a city that I detest, in a part of the country that I don't particularly like, when I'm perfectly happy in Ottawa or in the Yukon and feel that I can really contribute something to the Yukon Territory. And of course, these two things are something that I've been accused of ever since I've gone into territorial politics. So what do? You don't say, you deny them and go on your way. You can't get excited about them because if people want to believe something, they're going to believe it anyway. So what the heck?
How do you shake a label like that? You just don't do it, eh?
Well, and you don't. You learn to live with it. It's as simple as that. There's nothing that a person can do about it except to go on an independent course and refuse to become involved in any type of monetary or political program that uses pressure to change things territorially. And I think that I've removed myself from these type of pressures to as great extent as I could possibly, to where I attend a lot more liberal meetings than I do conservative meetings, just to try and stay away from this label as much as possible.
The article goes on to say that both Commissioner James Smith, who chairs the board, and this is the executive committee board, as you know it, a board of five, which has two elected and three federally appointed representatives on it, says both Commissioner James Smith, who chairs the board, and Chamberlain, who has set himself up, and this is Don Sawatsky's words, who has set himself up as a government house leader, claims that the experiment is working out beautifully so far. Before we talk about the experiment, how about the suggestion by Mr. Sawatsky that Chamberlain has set himself up as government house leader?
Well, of course, I said at the beginning of the program that one of the reasons why I don't feel the experiment is working and is capable of working with the present personnel and under the present conditions is that's exactly what the Honorable Member from Whitehorse East has done, has set himself up as a government house leader. And we get the absolutely ridiculous playing of partisan politics in a seven-man council with all the stupid, medieval, asinine political institutions that they have to go by in Ottawa and in provincial legislatures, putting themselves on in the territorial legislature. And I think that the most dramatic and perfect example of this is where the last council allowed the commissioner to set the mill rate for a specific example, which was Hillcrest when it was taken over by the territorial government from the federal government. And they allowed the commissioner to set a mill rate there because they didn't know what the taxes were going to be for the year when it was taken over by the territorial government. And the commissioner promised in the votes and proceedings, and this is all in black and white in the votes and proceedings, that it was only to be used in this specific example. The next year he turned around and, you know, you can call all the political niceties you want, but he screwed the people in Porter Creek by doubling the mill rate in Porter Creek under the authority that was given him by the council to act in Hillcrest. So I said, well, look it, once bitten, twice shy, we're taking the power away from the commissioner and put it back in the council's hands where it belongs. The whole of the council agreed with me, but I wasn't allowed to present my bill because the government house leader said, even though we agree with it, we have to have it coming from the government and from the house leader and not from just any member of the territorial council. So for another year, though all the council agrees with it, we're going to be burdened by the commissioner still having the authority to set the tax rates everywhere in the Yukon Territory. And this is petty, stupid partisan politics, the reasons that governments, democratic governments, are toppling all over the world because people don't realize in government that the people don't want to get involved in this pettiness.
I would like to have some of the other territorial councillors phone in if they can. It's difficult to get them to appear on the same program with Councillor McKinnon, but if they could call in and give us some of their views on the thing, we'd certainly appreciate it. As I say, the article only came before me this morning. I haven't had time to make all the phone calls I should have to the people who I'd like to have had on the show. Ideally, of course, if we consider Councillor McKinnon the leader of the opposition and Councillor Chamberlain the leader of the government side, we should have the two of them on together. However, this cannot be.
Well, of course, I've offered to debate Mr. Chamberlain at any time, at any place, so it must be Mr. Chamberlain who is unwilling to appear on the program with me. It's certainly not from my
Yes, Mr. standpoint. Chamberlain feels that if you
as government to, house leader, that yeah. He shouldn't.
All right. It also says here that the leader, the government house leader, and Commissioner Smith claim the experiment is working out beautifully so far, is the words here. Would you agree?
I don't think that the government of the Yukon Territory has ever been so far removed from the public of the Yukon Territory. And I make the point that I think that the executive committee is sitting up on the third floor in their ivory towers, doing what they feel they want and having no political input as to what the people of the Yukon Territory are thinking. I say this because I think that no politically minded person would have brought the budget that the executive committee did before the Yukon Territory this year. No politically minded person would bring that boondoggle Medicare plan before the public of the Yukon Territory. If you believe in democracy and the people have the right to rule, then when over 80% of the public of the Yukon Territory are working under a better Medicare plan at cheaper cost, it would seem to me that it is being politically suicidal to try and put in a plan which is going to give less benefits as a greater cost. However, the executive committee is trying to do this. When the majority of the Yukon public is in favor of things as anti-pollution legislation, in favor of a national park, in favor of environmental protection legislation, and none of this, not one piece, is forthcoming, though petitions have been presented to the executive committee, though I have asked for this legislation time and time again, then I really believe that never has the Yukon had worse government and government further away from the political input of the people. And I hear it day after day after day. I hear people phoning from every one of the constituencies of the Yukon Territory, people leaving the territory, people just so fed up with the bureaucratic morass of trying to get things done when they're thwarted at every turn by a government inspector or by some government regulation, then I make the accusation, and I think it's a proper accusation, that never in the history of the Yukon has the public been further removed from government, and has the government of the Yukon Territory been more unsympathetic towards the needs, the desires, and the aspirations of the people of Yukon.
What are you doing about it? Are you making contact with the administration, with the commissioner, and with the department heads, if not the so-called ministers?
I've had very little success in any of the dealings or any of the legislation or any of the questions that I've had tried to get answered on behalf of the public of the Yukon Territory since the new system of government has come about. In fact, it's the first time since I've sat on government where the council unanimously passed legislation asking for the Yukon labor force and for Yukon businesses to be favored. The commissioner, upon advice of the minister, vetoed it. Certainly, if the executive committee members were interested in the public, they would, in conscience, resign when the commissioner and the minister had refused such legislation that would protect the businesses and the public involved in business in the Yukon Territory.
The idea would be for them to resign and then go back to council and have council put them right back in. And this would
absolutely. But how, on a matter of principle, when they voted for the legislation and the commissioner, upon the advice of the minister, refused it? Now, you don't have to be very smart to say who the hell is still running this show.
That was the labor legislation.
That's exactly it. The labor legislation asked for where there was qualified labor available in the Yukon Territory, that those people had to be hired by contractors before they could bring out any labor from outside. And many of the provinces have this type of legislation. The commissioner vetoed it on the advice of the minister, and so the Yukon labor force is still completely unprotected by the representatives that they send there to protect them and to provide this type of legislation.
Good morning, talkback.
Good morning. I just wanted to say thank you to Mr. McKean for this he was talking about. I found that was really good, and I never saw a government so sloppy as an appear in the Yukon, and it should be to have something done.
Yeah, thanks very much for calling, because I get these type of calls 10 or 12 a day from either at business or at home, and I just can't convince the commissioner and those people in the executive committee that the people in the Yukon Territory are absolutely disgusted with the way that the territorial government is acting, that morale has never been so low in the territorial government, and that people are leaving the territory because they just can't get a fair shake.
No, I think, you know, you pay the same taxes and everything you pay in the province, and you have more benefits in the province than you have up here, you know.
Yeah, I think that's because the elected representatives in the Yukon or in British Columbia or in any other area, they have to pay attention to the public. But up here they don't, because the Minister of Indian Affairs and Northern Development, he runs the show, and the elected representatives are just puppets here. And until the elected representatives are willing to change that, then this is exactly what's going to continue.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much for calling, and we're going to take a short break. We just had two more guests arrive, Don Sawatsky, who wrote the article, and Councillor Clive Tanner, Territorial Councillor from Whitehorse North. We'll be back in just a minute, and please stay tuned.
Insurance, it's important to have. Important to have the right people to insure you. T.A. Firth & Son Limited, the right people to handle your insurance. They would like to remind you that they have moved to Steel Street, number 202A, next door to the 202 Club. T.A. Firth & Son Limited, general insurance agents handling every type of insurance. Let T.A. Firth & Son Limited handle your insurance. Phone 74411. And remember their new address, 202A Steel Street. You're listening to CKRW Radio, 610 in Whitehorse. That's the sound of happiness. That's the way you'll feel after traveling with Copper Cabs. Copper Cabs, formerly Star Taxi, is now under new management, spotlessly clean, waxed cars, and efficient, courteous drivers. Copper Cabs, the only way to travel. Call a Copper Cab, and you call the best. Gary Sullivan of Copper Cab assures you of the finest taxi service in Whitehorse. Call them today, 74232 and 74233. Write it down near your phone now. A number to remember, 74232 and 74233. That's Copper Cabs. It's 11:30. Good morning. Under overcast skies, 49 degrees in Whitehorse.
Go northward with Great Northern Airways, 1970 Limited, A Division. When you go northward with GNA, you're flying the right way. This is Ray Barraby for Great Northern Airways, inviting you aboard our distinctive purple and white DC-3. For for an unforgettable trip northward. Remember that word, northward. You'll be hearing a lot about it. GNA with reliable air transportation to Mayo, Dawson, Clinton Creek, Old Crow, and on to Inuvik, Tuck, and Sax Harbor on Banks Island. Sit back and let GNA show you the wonderful sights of the North. Fly the best way with GNA.
A British Overseas Airways 747 jumbo jet with 380 passengers aboard landed today in Denver after a high-altitude bomb was reported aboard the plane. The big jet was en route from Montreal to London when the bomb report was received from BOAC's Montreal office. An Energy Board hearing, which resumed in Ottawa today, could affect more than a million Canadian households that receive natural gas from TransCanada Pipeline Limited. The company is asking for permission to boost its rates. The federal government says it will review the merger plans of two oil companies. Under the merger, British-owned BP Canada Limited would take over the Canadian-owned Supertest Petroleum Corporation. The forest fire picture in British Columbia continues dark. There are 296 fires burning in the province, with no rain in sight. After sleeping in this morning, the Apollo astronauts are up and using their instruments to map the surface of the moon. The Apollo 15 spacecraft blasts out of lunar orbit tomorrow, heading for splashdown in the Pacific Ocean on Saturday. It's 49 degrees under overcast skies in Whitehorse. Lynn Marshall for GNA 1970 Limited and CKRW Radio News. The phone number is 77891. The program is Talkback, and John has a couple more guests with him. John?
Thank you very much, Lynn. Yes, Don Sawatsky, who is the writer of the article in Alaska Industry Magazine, and Territorial Councillor Norm Clive Tanner from Whitehorse North have arrived.
Freudian slip.
The name of the article is Yukon Ready to Run Own Show. It was written by Don Sawatsky, who is a freelance writer and radio commentator. Don, you've been in the Yukon how many years now?
6 years.
6 years, and you're quite familiar with what's been going on politically, certainly, and in other areas, too, of the Yukon. Now, we're going to backtrack it here. Here are a few of the questions that we put to Councillor McKinnon. I'm going to ask Councillor Tanner. I'm going to ask yourself, Don. For instance, you say that most members of the council feel the experiment just may work out after all. This is after discussing it, presumably, with various councillors.
Right.
What do you think? Having been a councillor, a council watcher for some time, do you think the experiment is working?
Well, the way I look at it, just about anything will be better than what we had.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anybody can argue with me that the council over the years has been one great big joke. And I watched those guys sitting in there, sitting after sitting after sitting, squawking and carrying on and trying to get things for the territory, and the federal government just sat back and said, well, too bad, you know, you're just not getting it unless we decide to give it to you. So I think any change is worth a try anyhow, and this is a try, so
right. Councillor Tanner, you think it's working out? It may work out. It looks good.
I think it's working out. Yeah, I think it's gonna, there's some bumps and valleys to smooth over, to get it to work a little more smoothly, but I think it's early days yet, and so far it hasn't been that bad. I'd also comment the little bit that I heard on the on my car radio coming down here is that mostly from what Councillor McKinnon said, it sounded like sour grapes to me.
Well, I think it would have sounded an awful lot like sour grapes if I had have done anything after about the first 6 months of the executive committee coming into order, or into being, because I think that everybody knew some of the shenanigans that went on and some of the behind-the-scene dealings that went on, in that every member of council, admittedly, on the hustings, wanted to be a member of the executive committee. Now, I think that the public was pretty well aware of some of the maneuverings that were going on during the selection of the members of the executive committee, and of course, I was involved in them, and I'd be the first one to deny this. So, not having received the plum of being an executive committee member, it would have sounded an awful lot like sour grapes if a person had have started, before giving it a fair opportunity to work, started berating what was being accomplished. But after one sees what hasn't been accomplished and the folly of the legislation that is trying to be shoved down the people of the Yukon Territory's throats, Then I think someone has to stand up and say, come on, boys, cease and desist, and for crying out loud, stop sitting in your ivory towers and start listening to the voice of the public of the Yukon Territory, because they're disgusted and fed up.
I'm going to have to interrupt you now and then. We only have about half an hour to go, Councillor McKinnon, and you're quite an elocutionist. Councillor Tanner.
What's that? Is it dirty?
Well, I think, Ken, I've heard you say a number of times in council, and I've heard you say out of council, that you're the opposition. Irrespective of whether you want to put a label on it, you are, you yourself, by your own admission, are the opposition, and you've opposed totally right down the line, and I don't think you've been very constructive. I don't think you're being constructive now. I don't think you've been constructive.
Well, of course, that's totally an untrue statement, because if one looks at the votes and proceedings of council, he'll find that I've supported more legislation than I've gone against. I've gone against legislation that I believed hasn't been in the public's interest. I was unanimously unanimously in opposition by my one single member loyal opposition, and that was a famous remark coined by the Speaker of the House, John Livesey, of being unanimously opposed to the budget and to the Medicare program, because I don't believe that they are in the best interest of the Yukon. But you're wrong in saying that I've objected to most of the legislation down the line, because I've agreed to much more of the legislation that I've been against. I just feel that the important pieces of legislation are the ones that aren't in the best interest of the Yukon Territory.
Gentlemen, we're going to let our listeners get in on the conversation and discussion. Good morning, Talkback.
This is Erwin Armstrong speaking.
Yes, Hello? Erwin.
Ken McKinnon made some remark about the commissioner refusing to sign a bill protecting Yukon labor.
That's correct.
The commissioner was given warning that if he did protect Yukon labor that are definitely inferior to what we have to get outside to man or industry, that he'd have the devil to pay.
Who gave him this warning?
Pardon?
Who gave him this warning?
There's been several people that warned him.
Who?
Well, I was one of them.
Aha!
And, now, just
I've always wondered where the commissioner got his advice. Now I know.
Just as an example, there was a fellow phoned all the way from Vancouver a short time ago to requesting me to drive a 3-ton truck up the highway because he couldn't get a competent and dependable.
Erwin, just a moment. Now we're on the discussion of responsible government and this article and the whole thing. If you've got anything that's pertinent to that overall discussion, say it. If not, we're going to have to go on to the next caller. What do you think about responsible government for the Yukon, Erwin?
That is the reason. You've got to produce the men if you want them hired.
Well,
that's
right, okay.
Why our educational system will have to be changed, because it is not producing the men that our industry needs.
Mm-hmm.
We have to get them from the outside.
Well, I think we've got a lot of competent men here in the Yukon. However, Erwin, everybody's entitled to their own opinion.
Well, I haven't met them yet.
Thank you very much for giving us a call. We're talking with Councillor Clive Tanner, Whitehorse North, Councillor Ken McKinnon from Whitehorse West, and Don Sawatsky, who is the author of an article in the August issue of Alaska Industry Magazine. The article is entitled, Yukon Ready to Run Own Show. Gentlemen, another item, another statement, Don, that you've made in the article says that the Yukon Liberal Association ran a slate of candidates and managed to tip the balance of power by electing 5 Liberals to the House. Could you elaborate on that? I understand that of the 7 members in the House, only 2 ran on a Liberal Party ticket.
Well, whether they ran on a Liberal Party as a Liberal Party-backed man or not, they're still Liberals. You know, you can split it any way you want. The only one that I know of that's to my mind a real independent is Mike Stutter.
Mike Stutter. Now, if these people were all Liberals, where does it leave a fellow like Don Brannigan? And it's been suggested to me this morning, and not by a conservative, that if what you say here is true, that possibly Brannigan and Chamberlain got together and said, look, let's make sure Hudson doesn't get in because he's considered to be a conservative. I can take from his middle-class WASP vote and make sure that Chamberlain gets in. Any suggestion of that?
I would give anything to have sat in on some of the backroom discussions, really.
Yeah.
Because right to this day, I still don't know, quite frankly, how Norm Chamberlain got in as a member,
the only person here who can tell you is sitting across from him, Mr. Tatter. I sure as hell can.
But let's face it, John, in the first place, Norm, he bucked the Liberal Party.
And then he went on to defeat Don Brannigan, the president at that time. And then he wound up with his plum. Now you tell me.
Don, I'm on your side. We're trying to find out the answers. Councillor Tanner, have you got any?
I've got a number of answers. Number one is that, first of all, I don't think it's a plum. Number two is that I...
$21,000 a year?
It's not the money. My God, they earn the money.
There's a lot of people who are listening who would think that the money's fairly important.
Okay, if the money's important, then you should. Everybody who went in for it should have fought and struggled to get it. I personally did not particularly want the position.
Mm-hmm.
There was at least one other councillor, in fact, I think two other councillors who didn't want the position. The money might be important to a guy who's in the job just for the money, but my God, I think they're earning anything they're getting right now. I would also point out that the money is less than the people in equal position who are civil servants.
But Don Sawatzky brings up a good point. How does a man who ran against a Liberal in the campaign wind up being supported by Liberals? And obviously has Hilda Watson's support, at least, who was an elected Liberal member of Territorial Council.
The same way that Councillor McKinnon or anybody else, or you, John, having been in there, or even Don Sawatzky, when he was an official observer, an official public relations man for the council, realizes that in certain circumstances you have to make a compromise of your position, and that's exactly what happened here.
That's not a compromise, that's a complete conversion.
Okay.
I don't think that's fair, Ken. I don't think you can ever accuse any councils of being totally converted. They're trying to do the best that they can in the way they see it for the Yukon.
Can you tell us if the decision was made amongst councillors and councillors only?
What decision?
To appoint these two people to those offices.
Yes, it was made by councillors.
And councillors alone, without outside influence?
Without outside influence.
Without outside influence. It says here that Councillor Chamberlain...
I'd like to go back to one point where Don says that the only one person ran as an independent during, and that was Councillor Studdard. Well, I don't recall receiving any support, any either monetary or political support from any organization, and I put my name up as an independent and ran as an independent candidate.
Yeah, just one correction there. I didn't say he ran as an independent. I said, as far as I can see, he is the only independent, politically independent
as councillor. As a member of the press, it's always been interesting to me whether the press truly believes that the council previous sat and received instructions from either the Conservative caucus or the Member of Parliament in putting propositions and legislation and passing legislation. Just the stereotype of saying the last council was a Conservative a majority. That would imply certainly that we were receiving instructions from either a Conservative caucus or from the Member of Parliament. Now both Mr. Dumas and I have denied this vehemently publicly on many occasions, and we either, the public is rather in a quandary whether they should believe the politicians or the press, and I guess in most cases they should probably believe the press.
No, I didn't say that either, you know, that the last one was a Conservative majority. I think I mentioned in that article that prior to this council, you had made an attempt to organize
majority.
To put your terms, like-minded people.
Beautiful term, whatever.
Right. Now, about 4 years ago, I did an interview with you on tape, and you told me at quite some length, explained the progressive conservative philosophy, and you wound up by saying, and that is why I have supported the progressive conservative philosophy, because it meets mine the closest.
Yeah, I still.
And that's why I called you a conservative. You may not belong to the party, you may not have a card, but you told me with your own, you know, yourself.
That, yeah, if conservative is a person who believes in free enterprise rather than the state control, then I suppose that I am still a conservative by
Good morning, Talkback.
I'd like to speak to Tanner, please.
Go right ahead.
Mr. Tanner.
Hello.
Hello, Mr. Tanner.
Hello.
Why didn't you fight Commissioner Smith when he blackmailed the people in Potter Creek to join the White Horse District?
I didn't. I not only didn't fight, but I sat back and went through all the steering committee meetings, which Councillor McKinnon didn't bother to go to. I watched what was happening. I saw the alternatives, and I made a decision in the best interests of my constituents, and I decided to endorse amalgamation, and I still think it was the best thing.
You, in other words, you figured it was all right for us to be blackmailed, is that it?
No, I didn't say it was all right for us to be blackmailed.
Well, you must have, because you agreed with it instead of fighting like hell for it.
I did fight
and
like...
I
fought like hell, as you put it, for it. Exactly, that's what I did, and it happened to be...
Yeah, well, I mean against it, because we were blackmailed good and simple by Commissioner Smith. I heard his speech out here and everything, and it was absolutely blackmail.
Were you in Porter Creek when he made that speech?
You're bloody right I was.
Did you hear my speech?
Well, if you call it that...
Well,
if you want to call it that...
Well, that's fine, sir. That's your personal opinion. In my opinion, the majority of people were better... off being in the part of Whitehorse or part of the overall city than being as Porter Creek by itself.
Well, I'll tell you this much. From the people in Porter Creek, you'll never get elected again because you didn't fight. And I thought that was a dirty deal. You were elected by them, and you should have fought. Even if you lost, you'd have been more of a man instead of going ahead and let it go through.
I didn't.
Because we're going to get the dirty end of the stick regardless.
Well, then I guess you must be psychic or something, so perhaps you should run next time, because obviously you can see in the future...
If I did, I would be like McKinnon. I'd fight. Believe me.
It's very easy to be destructive.
No, it's not being destructive. It's protecting the people. To allow them to be blackmailed. God almighty, that's the same as it was in Hitler's time.
Sir, getting back to this argument or this article that we're discussing now, what do you think of the present government overall territorially?
It stinks, except one man, and you got him in there talking, McKinnon. The rest stink, and you know it, and I know it. Only I got the guts to say so.
Okay, sir, thank you very much for calling and giving us your opinion.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Well, that was an equivocal statement, we might be able to say. We're going to be back in just a minute. I don't know.
The Schwatka is a trip. A trip you will never forget. The Schwatka. The Yukon riverboat that takes you back in history. 2.5 hours of gorgeous grandeur come alive from the decks of the Schwatka. See the Devil's Punch Bowl, the old Canyon City site, remnants of the Western Union Telegraph Line, all part of the legend of the Yukon. The Schwatka leaves daily at 1:30 and 6:30. The Schwatka, moored on Lake Schwatka, first turn left on the Miles Canyon Road.
In this busy do-everything-go-everywhere world, time and work savers are a must. Hogan's has the best, Gibson Freezers. See their great selection today. They're efficient, economical, and attractive. See the beautiful 23-cubic-foot freezer for only $239. Take a chance on Sam, the whole pork. Guess its weight. That's Hogan's. And get ready for the hunting season. Get your freezer at Hogan's today.
The program is Talk Back. The phone number is 77891. John, are you ready for the phone? There's a call on line 2, if you'd care to accept it.
Ask Don Sawatsky, the writer of the article in this month's Alaska Industry magazine. Don, you have suggested here that Chamberlain has set himself up as government house leader. Is this your own opinion that he, in fact, acts as house leader?
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt about it. He's the one that brings in all the legislation. He's the guy that argues on behalf of the legislation. I haven't seen one piece of legislation come in since he's been there that he's ever opposed. He, in effect, is doing the arguing for the commissioner and for the legal advisor who was doing it before.
Do you have any idea how he attained this position?
Like I say, I'd love to know.
Councillor Tanner, do you have any idea how... do you consider Chamberlain to be government house leader?
I'd say so, yeah.
And any idea how he got that position? Was that an elected position? Was in the House?
As far as I'm concerned, I don't know. I think he just assumed the role and by force of personality drove it home. And he had certain backing, obviously, with the Liberal Party or the like-minded Liberals.
Well, let's stop frigging around here. It's not the Liberal Party. It's the five people in there who are like-minded, if that's the term you want to use, two of whom are elected Liberals.
Well, you've used the term frigging around, and let's lay our cards on the table. Are you trying, you just said earlier, Councillor Tanner, that in fact it was all done within territorial council. Isn't it a fact that Ray McCamey and Al Luke both acted in the election of these five people as representatives of Norm Chamberlain in one case and Brannigan faction and the Liberal Party in the other case? Let's put our cards out on the table. Let's say what we know. Now, if you want to really get into this thing, tell the people what happened and where we're at here.
Where did you get that information from, John?
From you.
Oh, did you? Well, I don't think I particularly want to discuss it now.
Okay, fine. We have a call on line two. Good morning, talkback.
I'm just going to make a very brief statement, and I just wanted to say that I agree wholeheartedly with the gentleman that just called up a few minutes ago, mm-hmm. and that I do believe that Ken McKinnon is about the best territorial councillor that we do have, and too bad he couldn't run for us all.
Do you think... That there are many other people in the territory that think along the same lines as you do?
I sure do. Really do. And for Mr. Tanner to push this new medical plan that's coming in, I am strictly against it. I have an insurance plan that covers better than what he has planned, and I do feel that the people should have a meeting, a general meeting, and just vote everything right out. Because I'm not for it at all.
And what do you think about the government of the Yukon Territory at the moment?
I'll be honest with you, I'll be just like that gentleman. I think it stinks.
Okay, thank you very much for calling.
Okay, thank you.
Don Sawatsky, you're around as a freelance reporter and CBC and writing articles and so forth. What do you think the people of the Yukon feel about the present government setup? Are they generally fairly happy with it?
You mean the way it stands right now?
Yeah, and how things are going?
Well, quite frankly, I think it's still a little bit early to decide one way or another whether it's going to work. But like I said before, the old system had just gotten people to the point where they were just beside themselves. They didn't know. You know, you ask anybody anywhere in the territory, and I have, and they say, you know, they just laugh. It's a great big joke. Now, this may or may not work. As far as I can see, we were talking about partisan politics. I don't see... for the life of me, how you can make a partisan political council out of seven members.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'd say 13, 11 or 13, maybe 15. Then you can start to divide up sides.
How about the people? What do you think, what's the feedback that you're getting from the man on the street sort of thing that you're in contact with quite a bit? Generally satisfied, generally dissatisfied, as our callers have indicated.
I've heard some say that they welcome this. I've heard others say that people generally are pretty suspicious. They're gun shy about anything that the territory does or the federal government does. So there, a lot of people are just sitting back and thinking, well, it may work, but you know, I sort of doubt it. There's been this feeling for a long time.
Good morning, talkback.
Oh, yes. I just want to say that I agree completely with this gentleman from Porter Creek, and I've been a member of the Liberal Party here for years, of which I will not be anymore due to the council we have in. And to say to Ken McKinnon to stick by his guns, we're with him all the way. Thank you.
Thank you very much for calling. This article links, in philosophy, as far as this item is concerned, Councillor McKinnon with Ken Short, Yukon Youth Publisher. They've certainly been on other opposite sides of the fence.
Politics sure makes strange bedfellows, doesn't it?
Good morning, talkback.
Yes, John, I want to extend my support to Ken. I agree wholeheartedly with that gentleman from Porter Creek. The stink is getting awful all the way down to Riverdale.
Do you think that there are many people that feel this way?
You bet your life, John.
I'm going to ask any of our listeners that disagree with Ken or are supporting the government if they would please call in. Is it a fact that on this program all we're getting is McKinnon supporters here and in the past? This has been the indication. I want to find out if there is, in fact, somebody on the other side. But you think that a majority of people think like you do?
Well, I tell you, John, in previous councils... Norm Chamberlain used to play a different tune on his fiddle. He has changed right to the opposition now, and it seems to me that Ken McKinnon is the only one left who's got the little common sense to comply with the wishes of the people and the needs of the people. This Medicare plan is outrageous, in my opinion.
Okay. Thank you very much for calling and giving us your opinion.
You bet, you, John.
Anytime.
Good morning, Talkback.
Yes, I also am from Porter Creek, and I was at that meeting that night that they were here.
Mm-hmm.
And when I suggested to Commissioner Smith that I had come from a small village and that we self-sustained ourselves, we had our own fire department and everything, and there was only one small store in there for a business, for a revenue, he wanted to know, to me it was very sarcastic, he said, why didn't I go back there? You know.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I think we were railroaded also. Just by this idea, well, if you don't join us, your mills are going to go up to so much, so pay or else.
What do you think of the present government?
Lousy.
Thank you very much for calling.
Thanks very much, bye.
Good morning, Talkback.
Good morning. I hate to say it, but my opinion is entirely with the gentleman that phoned from Porter Creek. As far as the White Horse North member, mm-hmm. I figured he should have done something about the city amalgamation, and I don't figure... If he wants to sell us down the stream, I don't figure he should try and get on the air and say that all his all the people that put him in are 100% behind him on this lousy Medicare business.
No, he didn't say that, ma'am.
He did on an earlier broadcast.
Oh. Do you live in Whitehorse North?
Yes, I do.
What do you think of the territorial government?
Have you got a fumigation outfit in town? From the commissioner on down.
Okay. Thank you very much for calling.
Thank you.
Now, before we take the next call, and the calls are coming swift and furious now, gentlemen, you've heard a few of the comments. There's got to be somebody on the other side of the fence. Don, you've run into a few of them. What are the pros as regards government? Clive, there's no doubt, Councillor Tanner, there's no doubt in my mind that you've done, since you've been in there, what you felt was best in your role as a territorial councillor. Do you get a feeling from the people that the people are unsatisfied with government? You're in contact certainly with them, with your constituents and with others through your business.
I think it's somewhat unfortunate that everybody who has phoned up this morning seems to be opposed to what I've done. I would like to hear somebody, maybe, out there who'd like to support me.
Christine,
Mrs. morning!
I would say that in my opinion, I as I said earlier, and I don't think I've ever made the statement that any... myself included, that any councillor can stand to represent every one of his constituents. My goodness, there's more people voted against me for Burrows and Kent than there were for me, so obviously I can't represent all my constituents. Mm-hmm. I would say that that the way I saw the amalgamation, since this is the subject we're talking about, in my opinion, it was the best, the most logical thing to do. Mm-hmm. And at that speech, I didn't make any speeches and on the subject until we got to Porter Creek, because it's the heartland of my constituency. And at that time, I came out in full force and said exactly what I thought. I tried to explain the alternatives, and in my opinion, it was the best thing that could happen. As far as Medicare is concerned, I ran on that platform. I still think, and I'm completely convinced, it's the only reasonable thing for the Yukon now.
Councillor Tanner, I supported the amalgamation thing. I thought it was good then. I think it's good now. But we're looking at the overall picture. You've mentioned also Medicare. And how about the general feeling of the public towards government, you know, which is always kind of important. Are they generally fairly happy, in your opinion, from what you see?
I think Don probably hit it on the head. I think it's early days yet. I think the experiment that which we're working with right now has got to work itself out. It's going to take another year and maybe another 2 years, and it's got to be extended. I think in the past, and I'm not blaming the past councillors as people, but I'm blaming the situation they found themselves in. I think the public as a whole were, as Don Sawatsky said, were confused, annoyed, aggravated, because it was totally administrative, civil servant government. And I think with that's still a hangover from the previous councils.
Yeah, you see, the fact of the matter is that the other councils, that the people realize how ineffective other councils were, but they felt that when seven men were standing as one, when they were standing up for the rights of the public, the people had something going for them. They may feel, and I feel, that this is the way it is, that they classify the two executive members who used to stand up united in council and fight for them now as administrators and as bureaucrats. Now, the other thing should have happened. the elected members in the executive committee should have taken over the government of the Yukon Territory and made it a viable political body. Instead, it's become an administrative body. The public feels this way, and I think they have justification for feeling this way, so they feel that even more than ever, their wishes are not getting any credence or not getting into legislation.
Gentlemen, the lines are loaded. We're obviously going to be going over time. If you have time to stay with us, we have to take a short break now for a message.
Moving can be a headache. Take the worry out of your moving with Pacific Northwest Moving. Agents for United Van Lines. They move with care anywhere. Make a smart move, a smooth move with Pacific Northwest Moving. Know about the town you're moving to? Contact Pacific Northwest and they will submit your name to United City Information Service, who will forward necessary information about your new home. Make the right move with Pacific Northwest Moving. 3rd and Hanson, 667-7252. They do more than get you there.
Getting ready for the hunting season? Then ready yourself at Igloo Sporting Goods. Everything you need to hunt and hunt well. They have an excellent selection of rifles, Husqvarna, Winchester, Browning, Parker Hale, and for the left-handers, Savage Left-Hand Bolt. Your favorite scopes and mounts, Bushnell, Leopold, Weaver, and Redfield. Binoculars, spotting scopes, and knives by Gerber, Buck, and Puma are in stock at Igloo. Igloo Sporting Goods reminds you that your hunting license must be obtained from the Game Department. Open Monday to Friday.
2 minutes after 12, you're listening to a special extended version of Talk Back. And once again, here's your host and moderator, John Dumas.
Which line do we start out with, Lynn? Good morning, Talk Back. Good morning, Talk Back.
Good morning, John. I know you're hoping for an opposition call, but I'm afraid I'm another McKinnon supporter.
Yeah, well, not so much McKinnon supporters particularly. I'm wondering about the government of today.
Well, the government, except for Ken McKinnon, I feel that most of them just sort of go along with whatever this one man says. And Ken McKinnon is the only one who stands up and fights for the rights of the people and what the people want. And the only thing I ever had against Ken McKinnon is his haircut.
Oh, that's ridiculous. Now, I've got to take issue with that, because the way the man cuts his hair has nothing to do with his political philosophy.
No, I realize that, but that's what I mean. As for
I can't stand the support, Clive. Stop it.
Okay, thank you very much for calling. Good morning, Talk Back.
Hello, John.
Yes?
Could I talk with Ken, please?
You go right ahead.
Hello. Good morning.
Hello, Ken.
Yeah.
I'd like to ask a question. Where are the ballots supposed to be counted in this election? At the polls or where?
No, they're counted right at the polls with the DRO right there in attendance and the poll clerks and everything.
Yeah. Well, that's what I thought. Well, how come in this last election with the metropolitan areas to be voted into the city, how come they took the ballots all down to Perry Hall?
Because it was a plebiscite under the plebiscite ordinance. It wasn't an election held under the Canada Elections Act. It wasn't a binding formal election held under formal regulations. It was just a plebiscite to determine the voice of public opinion, nothing else.
It was all for everybody.
Right.
It wasn't for any special count for the outside areas. It was just everybody mixed in together. Was that
That's
it?
Correct.
It was a public opinion poll, man. That's all.
Uh-huh. That's fine. That's all I wanted to know.
Okay, thank you for calling, ma'am. Good afternoon, Talk Back.
Yeah, good afternoon, John. I'd just like to be in complete compliance with this man from Porter Creek, because I'm definitely against Tanner. And in the next election, if Wigwam Harry were to run against Clive, I'm sure he'd have the edge.
Well, look, we're not really here to crucify any one man, and I still believe that most politicians do their very best, and I believe Clive Tanner has done that since he's been in. You can question his judgment, but certainly not his integrity.
Well, I'm certainly questioning his judgment, because I think he's just a yes man there, and he hasn't done any good at all for Porter Creek whatsoever.
What do you think of territorial council and the territorial government as a whole?
I don't think it's very good. I'm sort of pro-McKinnon, because I think he's doing an honest job. And that's one thing I can say is he's doing an honest job, and I don't think the rest of them are, really.
Do you live in Whitehorse North, by any chance?
Oh, yes, I do.
Okay, thank you very much for calling.
Thank you. Bye.
Good afternoon. Talk Back.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead, please.
Oh, good afternoon. I wanted to have a word about this Medicare and endorse what this man said from Porter Creek. I think that what is being perpetrated here by the government on the people is not what the people want. They're not being asked if they want this Medicare.
Well, you know that the Medicare thing won't be decided upon finally until the next session of Territorial Council. At that time, it will either go ahead or otherwise. And if fellows like yourself and the many callers we've had stress their opinions to their territorial councillors, presumably council will act accordingly.
Yeah.
Can I presume that, gentlemen? Don, would you expect the council to act?
Well, I would certainly hope so.
Councillor McKinnon?
No, I don't. I expect the council to do whatever they damn well please, just as what they've been doing since the last territorial election.
Councilor
they haven't
Kennan.
Been listening to the voice of the people. That's the whole problem and why you're getting the calls like you are right now.
Yeah, the council will listen.
Okay, sir. There's where the stress must lie. There's where the pressure must lie in the democratic system. Contact your councillor and contact programs like this.
Well,
and
I'm
you're doing it.
Porter Creek, so my councillor's there, and perhaps he'll bear that in mind, to vote against it.
Okay, thank you very much for calling, sir. Good morning, good afternoon, talk back.
Good afternoon, Mr. Dumas. I think that I'm not a McKinnon fan, so I'm one of those people that you want to phone in that is not a McKinnon fan.
Right, I was thinking of you when I mentioned it.
Thank you. As far as I'm concerned, I'm not exactly in favor of the Medicare as it stands, but let's wait and see what happens, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
The things are not all down yet. The chips are not all down yet. Mr. McKinnon may say that the council will do as they damn well please. He's an elected member, too. All these people from Porter Creek, etc., that are getting in and screaming, they're the people that are going to get the most money spent on them to start with Metro.
Where do you live, please?
Riverdale.
No.
So, consequence, we haven't got so much we want up here, have we?
Right.
And
what do you think about the government overall?
And the government overall, it's got its faults, same as every other government is. I think if it was twice as big, it might be a help. But I don't think that Mr. McKinnon has a right to sound off on his public soapbox of CKRW as much as he does.
Mm-hmm.
He has a public soapbox all of his own, both on TV and whenever he wants to get
it. Well, look, I'm not going to take that kind of abuse because it was on John's invitation that he asked me on today.
Just a minute. When you were on Talkback, you made a lovely week of political haymaking about the Medicare and everything else. You had a ready-made absolute soapbox of your own there, and nobody... But nobody, all your lovely supporters got on. But what about
why didn't
some
you
of
call?
The good liberals get on and say something about it? This is what bothers me, quite frankly, Mr. Tanner.
Why didn't you call?
Well, I did.
When I was on Talkback for a week, I didn't receive one call from you.
Well, I didn't talk to you, but I told Mr. The thing I had to say was not publicly for the air, because what I said was you were making a public... soapbox of it, and he agreed with me to a point.
And the other fact of the matter is that I refuse many invitations to come on the TalkPack program because I'm afraid of exactly the accusation that you're making right now.
Well, the
and Mr. Dumas
is
will
very
back.
True too.
Will,
I mean, Mr. Tanner, can I speak to Mr. Tanner?
Mr. Dumas will back this up.
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Tanner, why doesn't the Liberal Association get Eric Nielsen on this for 1 hour, solidly slapping the government around and everything else? Why doesn't some members of the Liberal Association get on and do some lobbying as well?
That's what I often ask too, Mrs. White.
Equal time for equal thing. And this man that said he was a Liberal and he's never going to be a Liberal again, as far as I'm concerned, he's damn well better out of the Liberal Party. We don't need people like him. We need people that will stand up and be counted for the government. Not that stand up and sort of always tear everything down like Miss May. He's destructive. I agree with you 100%. That is what I have to say. And anybody that wants to disagree with me can go ahead and do it. Thank you, Mr. Tanner.
I'm glad she's on your side.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Councillor Tanner, do you have any comment on that?
I think probably the Liberals don't bother when the Conservatives get on the radio, and they do dominate the radio, let's face it, and the news media, and when they get on, I don't think it's worthwhile.
I don't think they dominate this program, and the fact that Councillor McKinnon sat in on this program, I had nothing to do with it. It was done while I was away, and I, too, question the advisability of putting a politician on a program like this and letting him run it, whether it's McKinnon or anybody else.
Well, John, there is a precedent for this in Vancouver.
Sure.
One of the MLAs has a radio program similar to yours. However, that you're talking about 1.25 million people.
That's
when you've
right.
got a very small town, well, small population like this, I think Ken has got an advantage, and I think he uses it.
And I'd be stupid if I didn't.
Good afternoon. Talk back.
I'd like to speak to Mr. McKinnon.
Go ahead, please. He's listening.
Hello.
Mr. McKinnon, I wonder when they're going to kick that commissioner out of there.
Well, I don't know. I think we might have to set up the barricades in the streets before we do. I think we could have the most peaceful, bloodless revolution here, you know. We could just walk up en masse and take him out of the office.
He was no good as even a clerk. Well, then how can he be a commissioner?
Well, that's unfair.
No, I don't think you should.
I think we're going a little far because the commissioner has an impossible job to fulfill. Solomon couldn't do a job of serving two masters. Now, the commissioner, by the Yukon Act, has to listen to the instructions of the Minister of Indian Affairs and Northern Development. If he's a Yukoner and living here, he has to bow to the pressure of public opinion, too. So he's, in essence, serving two masters. That's an impossible task, and Jimmy has done as good a job as any in trying to do an absolute impossible job in an absolute impossible situation. And I just disagree wholeheartedly with the executive head of government being an appointed member. It should be an elected member responsible to the people of the Yukon.
I might point out that Jimmy Smith disagrees. He agrees with McKinnon and Councillor Tyner and everybody 100%. Else on that.
We all agree with
and
that.
And I think that Smith is probably the best commissioner we've had certainly since I've been up here as a man. The position of commissioner as such, an appointed position, where a man is appointed to rule this territory is wrong. That's what's wrong with the system. And it's a system that we're after, certainly not the individuals, and this has happened to my experience to be one of the better individuals in that position. But thank you very much for calling and giving us your opinion. Good afternoon. Talk back.
Yes, good afternoon. Now, the Liberals have been on the air quite a few times, haven't they? Mr. Chamberlain has been on the air.
Yes,
and he didn't make much of an impression on me when people objected to the cost of Medicare, and all he has to say is that, now look, council has discussed it, you elected those people, he more or less said, you'll just have to take what's coming. I don't think this is being very responsive to the people. I mean, we're gambling when we elect these people. We expect them to be responsive to the people. You know, we can't just elect anybody and say, well, take $30, and if he gets in council and says, well, I'm going to take $30 out of your back pocket every month, he's got to listen to the people.
Ma'am, nobody said it's going to be $30. The most is going to be is $14.50, and I would point out that when you say people who you're taking a gamble, yes, you are, but one of the things I said and one of the things Hilda Watson said, both of us in our platforms, we supported a medical health plan for the Yukon. So people who voted for either of us knew what we were saying. We said just that. One other thing, and I don't want to change the subject too much, but going back to amalgamation, during the election, there was only one person in Porter Creek who supported amalgamation. That was Harvey Kent. He came right out and said, I support amalgamation. And I said, no, I'm waiting to see. So you did have the choice, as far as Whitehorse North was concerned and Carmax Kalani, of supporting two people who said Medicare is a thing which we should have, and both of us were elected. So I assume that both the majority of people in those two constituencies wanted Medicare.
Well, they may want, I may want a Chesterfield suite, but, you know, if it's going to cost, if it's going to be too expensive for me, I probably can't afford it.
Okay, well, we're talking generally about government in the Yukon, and we're discussing the article that was written by Don Sawatsky, who's here with us, and it's in the Alaska Industry Magazine, about the Yukon being ready to run its own show and so forth. What do you think about government in the Yukon generally and about Ottawa controls particularly?
Well, I think what seems to have happened now is that we have a mouthpiece for Ottawa, and that this is the part that he's responsive to. He doesn't seem to be all that responsive to the people themselves.
Who's that you're referring to, ma'am?
The leader.
The House Leader?
The House Leader.
Councillor Chamberlain.
I think this is who he responds to, is Ottawa.
Oh, I'm afraid I can't agree one little bit. I don't think he responds to Ottawa.
Well, you know, if anybody argues with him, if the people argue with him, he seems to get very angry with them runs them around in circles.
Do you think there are many people like yourself that you know that are dissatisfied with the way things are going?
I should think so. Yes, I think so.
Okay, thank you very much for calling. Bye. Now, we're going to have to take a break. We have three guests with us, Councillor Ken McKinnon from Whitehorse West, Councillor Clive Tanner from Whitehorse North, and Don Sawatsky, a freelance radio commentator and author. And we're discussing his article in this month's Alaska Industry Magazine. We'll be back in 1 minute.
The White Horse Travel Lodge requires a night auditor for immediate employment. Bookkeeping experience, background desired. Please apply in person to the White Horse Travel Lodge.
The program is Talk Back. The number is 77891, and we return you to John Dumas.
Good morning, Jack.
Yes, first comment I'd like to make is that I think it's unfair for anyone to criticize a man in the commissioner's position, because the people that do the criticizing, I don't think they could do a damn bit better, and I'm sure they couldn't do half as good.
Yeah, well, I don't think you'll get any argument here.
I don't think so, but let's go on to Medicare. What a stink. What a dirty, rotten screw everybody in the Yukon is going to take on this.
Well, you're opposed to Medicare, I take it.
Well, I'll tell you, there's an awful lot of people, myself included, who are getting quite a lot of our medical care through the government, that is, the federal government.
Being a
war pensioner.
Right.
And now I got to turn around and pay $12 or $14 a month.
$14.50 if you've got a family.
For nothing.
Yeah. Well, you're opposed to Medicare. We're talking in general terms on this program. What do you think about the government of the territory, particularly council and territorial government administration?
Well, I think as a whole, they're doing a fairly reasonable job. There are a few points that I don't want to make public, because in the position which I hold in the community, I just can't make too many rash statements, eh?
Right.
But there are a few points that I think could be improved on greatly, and I do believe that there could be considerable money saved if these particular points were looked into by the people in the position to do so, but they don't bother doing, apparently. They just...
Do you think there are many people that feel like you?
Yes, there are.
Sir, this is Clive Tanner. I wish, whether in my constituency or whatever constituency you're in, you talk to your councillor about them and, unofficially, because... how can we get a feeling for what you're saying unless you come and tell us?
Well, I'm not afraid to tell you, Clive. Believe that. I'll tell you.
Well,
I'll talk to you personally about one item, but...
Well, please do. I'm available to any of my constituencies about any time. I'm going on holiday for a couple of weeks, but I'll be back then, and I've got three phone numbers. You can get me at any of them.
Yeah, well, one of these days when I get a chance to breathe easy, I'll come over and we'll have a little chit-chat.
Please
okay,
do.
That's the name of the game. Thank you very much for calling.
Okay.
Good afternoon, Talk Back. Good afternoon, Talk Back.
Yeah, right here. I'd just like to say I agree completely with you, John, about the Commissioner Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And also with Kenry Kennan, but Mr. Smith is a hard-working person. I don't think a man should be knocked down for doing his job. And I also think Mr. McKinnon is probably one of the best men we have, except for he's gone now, Mr. Watt, and that's about all I have to say.
Okay, what do you think of the territorial government overall and territorial council particularly?
I think the except for Mr. McKinnon, they're probably one of the worst we ever had for a long time. I lived in Yukon all my life.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you very much for calling and giving us your opinion. Good afternoon, Talk Back.
Yeah, hello. I wanted to ask a question about if I had MSA, how does this medical plan in Yukon affect me?
Now, we've been all through the medical plan on the program several times, and just very briefly, your MSA would be dropped and the Medicare program would be picked up unless MSA comes up with a supplementary program which you would have to pay additional dollars for, of course. But that's essentially it. How long have you been around the Yukon?
Born here.
What do you think of the government of the Yukon, President?
Well, I have... The problems, I think, is the fact that the territorial council is split by...
politics?
Politics, right.
Do you think it's a good council?
I think we have some pretty sharp boys in council, but this thing, political thing, sort of makes it negative, because... if you get a program and you get the liberals back in one side and the other the other side, the program doesn't become the issue. It's who has more people on their side as to what party you're in. And I think the Yukon territory isn't that big to support such a thing right now.
Okay, thank you very much for calling, and we're going to have to take a break for a message.
Be a little bitty bit of sunshine come your way, yeah.
You're listening to CKRW in Whitehorse. The program is Talk Back, and here once again is your host and moderator, John Dumas.
Okay, I don't think we'll be taking any more calls. We've gone over 20 minutes, and we will be going a few more minutes because I do want to get back to this article that Don Sawatsky wrote in the August issue of Alaska Industry Magazine, and Don's been a Yukon.